paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Yo, and we are back once again. The Kickback Pod. Back at you after a bit of a short hiatus, guys. It's a bit difficult, man. It's a bit difficult to get us together to record in the summertime. And for those of you who do not live in Europe, let me tell you, the number one reason I moved to Europe is because you get a ridiculous amount of vacation days, guys. And Europeans take them all in the summertime. So either 1 week, Fob's on vacation, I'm on vacation. It's really tough to put pods together in the summer. I got to be honest with you guys. But now we're moving on to the next season. We're moving on to the fall right now. I've used up all my vacation days this year. So there's definitely going to be pods coming a lot more frequently, guys. So thank you for bearing with us. We're very happy to be back. It's Friday at the time of us recording right now. Just got off work, so I am ready to pod. So Fobs, man, it's been a while. Long time no see, bro. How you been?
Wagwan, what you saying? You know, I'm Wagwan, on that top boy. Man.
Yo, we got to talk about Top Boy 2, bro. Did you watch it?
I'm in the middle of watching it. I think I've watched like two episodes of the latest season, and that's why, please, no spoilers. And
no spoilers.
I will obviously not spoil anything from the first two episodes, but it is shaping up to be a very good season. I'm enjoying it a lot. And as you just said, JD, like, it's been a busy summer for both of us, and you know, maybe next year we need to either think about like an official summer break that we communicate, or syncing up our traveling schedules somehow. But you know, that's what the European summer is all about. It's about enjoying time off with family, with friends, in beautiful locations, whether that be, you know, Dublin, Italy, France, somewhere in Germany, whatever. So I feel like we're both feeling very refreshed.
Definitely,
and,
bro.
Now, you know, we're segueing into a little bit of a late summer with the great weather that we've been having in September. I don't know how long it's going to last, but the fact that Top Boy is out, that, you know, Netflix is a little bit reloaded. I was feeling before the summer began and during the summer that I'd already seen everything on Netflix. There was nothing good. And now there's been a couple of really good shows. And I must say, Top Boy has been like the cream of the crop for me at the moment.
Yo, I actually love this time of the year, man, because, yeah, like you said, got the good TV shows coming back. You got Premier League back. You got NFL Ooh. Back. You got, like, baseball playoffs, man. Like, there's so much TV to watch. I love it, man. The weekends, I was just telling my friend about this. One of the best things about European or living in Europe on Sundays is that during the day, from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you can watch, like, Premier League, and then you can spend the whole evening watching NFL, so you don't miss anything.
It's true. Sundays are like, if you know, if you're just chilling or you just want to chill, you got a nice TV, it's probably the best time zone to be in, because you can watch Premier League, then you watch Bundesliga, then you watch the next, like, literally you could watch from
everything
from 1 p.m. until 10, 11 midnight, non-stop sport. The other day I was browsing Instagram and I saw one of my friends post a story. And he was watching, I think it was the US Open on TV. And then he had one laptop that was showing a Bundesliga game or like some sort of football game. And then on the other laptop, there was the Tour de France. So it was literally, he had like three screens and he just didn't know what he wanted to watch. And I think that's the beauty of this time of year, that, you know, everything's ramping up. There's so much good stuff to watch, both on the sports side and also on the more, you know, I mean, what would you call it? Like, not reality TV, but
yeah, like
you know,
just TV in general, TV. Man. It's a good time. It's a good time. Getting ready for the colder months for sure. Well, guys, in this episode, so we thought we would dedicate this episode to discussing the best of each brand this year. How's every brand performing so far this year? What's been the best sneaker from each brand this year? For Nike, because Nike is such a big brand, we've broken it down into Nike, the whole brand, Nike SB, as well as Jordan brand. And then, of course, we got the other ones as well. So me and Fobs will be giving you guys our favorite sneakers from each brand so far this year. And of course, there's plenty of other things to discuss as well. But we'll first start off with shouting out our listener of the week. Shout out to my man, Ahmed Tariq, because he's been asking in a lot of my videos, when's the pod coming back? So, bro, the pod is back. And shout out to you, man. Shout out to one of our top listeners, Ahmed. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting, bro.
Love to hear that energy. And sure. Ahmed, we will be bringing back the bi-weekly episodes from now on, so don't you worry.
No worries. So let's move into what we've been wearing. You kick us off, man.
So I've been wearing two very different shoes, but also two shoes that are kind of rooted in casual culture and football culture. I've been wearing the Sneakers and Stuff Adidas Originals GT from a couple of years ago. I believe it dropped two summers ago, and it's this beautiful light blue suede upper. It's got that, you know, rubber sole that has become so popular nowadays, you know, on the Samba, on the Gazelle, on the Handball, on the Spezial. There's so many different Adidas shoes that are popping off right now. Obviously, the Samba is the big one, but the GT, I mean, they all look very, very similar, and they're all from the same era, and they were all made, you know, one after another with, you know, maybe focusing on different special sports and indoor court sports. But the GT, super fresh. The Sneakers and Stuff version is really nice. The only thing, I mean, I love the colorway, but as a Manchester United fan, wearing that like sky blue all the time is, I mean, it hurts my soul a little bit, but it's a beautiful shoe. It's very comfortable. It's a great shoe to slip on as well when you're not, you know, in the mood to like pull on some socks or whatever. You just need to run to the Späti around the corner, go to the post office. They're always at the front door somewhere, and I just slip them on and you know, run off into the sunset. So that's one pair that I've been wearing a lot. And then the second one is, like I said, also rooted a little bit in football culture, but not because of the shoe itself, but rather because of who collaborated on the shoe. It's the Stone Island New Balance Fuel Cell C1. So this is obviously a high performance running shoe, one of New Balance's fastest shoes, basically. I think it's got a carbon plate in it. Huge midsole, super comfortable. It's like you're walking on springs. Like literally you put it on and you can't help just bouncing up and down. But Stone Island is obviously a brand that is also rooted in high performance, in outdoors, in Gorp core, right? But then it's because of its adoption by the casual scene in the 80s, the 90s, or even earlier, the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's a shoe that, for me, is also like partly football in a way. And so, yeah, it's a fun shoe to wear. It's very different to the Adidas Originals GT in that it's so bulky and bulbous and also comfortable in a different manner. And that's why there are two very different shoes that I've been kind of like moving back and forth between the last few weeks. What about you, man?
Those Stone Island pairs, if I remember correctly, you also dyed them, right? Back in like last year or the year before, didn't you color yours?
That was the first one that came out. That was the RC Elite, I think it was called.
Right. These are the
massive ones that came out this year. But the ones that I dyed, yeah, I still have those and I wear them occasionally. But these new ones are just next level. Like they're a proper high performance shoe. The other one obviously is too, but this one is just like, if you compare the two, the second one, the new one, is just so much bigger. But if you compare the first one, the RC Elite, to other shoes like the GT, then you would think that one is so much bigger. So it's just crazy, the evolution of just how big shoes have become in general as well.
No, that's fire, man. So as far as me, what I've been wearing, I also have been wearing kind of a shoe that was originally a football shoe, that is the Sambas. Specifically, I've been wearing the Sporty and Rich Samba, just the all blue colorway with the white three stripes. I got this pair because I got exclusive access on the Confirmed app like a couple of weeks ago, and it was exclusive access for the blue one, and that was the pair that I liked the most from all of the Sporty and Rich shoes so far. And they only had one size left, and it just happened to be my size. So I'm like, okay, I got to pull the trigger on this one. So I ended up copying it. I actually even wore it to Dublin when I was there a couple of weeks ago. Love the shoe. Love the colors on it. And it has very nice materials compared to most Sambas, like a really nice, a rich leather on there. And it's just a pretty unique colorway for a pair of Sambas. So I've been rocking that quite a bit. And the other pair is, you guys know, my favorite silhouette, favorite model to wear this year has been the 990 V6. I've been preaching about this shoe for a while. I already had the gray pair. I picked up the Lapis Lazulis, Action Bronsons. And now I picked up another pair that was the cream colorway of the 990 V6. And that's, we might even be talking about the shoe a little bit later in the episode, but that's very much up there for one of my favorite New Balances to come out this year. Such a beautiful colorway. And I think it was, of course, designed by Teddy Santis, at least the colorway, part of the Made in USA line. Of course, Teddy Santis did his thing and managed to really showcase what a nice sneaker the 990 V6 is. I think it's the best colorway we've seen so far on that sneaker. And I've been wearing that a ton just because it's so comfortable.
Nice. Love the 99 V6. And you're right, we definitely will be talking about that a little bit later. You mentioned pickups. What have you picked up in the last, I mean, since the last time we spoke is maybe a little bit long because you probably have like 100 pickups, but like recently, what have you picked up?
Recent pickups. So I debated on whether to get this one for a while. Eventually, I did end up pulling the trigger on drop day. This was the Palace and Salomon XT Wings 2. So they did a collab together. There was a white and black pair. A lot of people were saying it's kind of disappointing. Myself included, I was like, you know, when we hear of a Palace and Salomon collab, I was expecting something a bit more than just an all black or all white shoe. But I do really like the black pair specifically. It looks like a black Salomon that was like dipped in some oil or something like that. It just looks like really shiny on it. And for me, it's like the most Berlin looking shoe that's released this year.
Or the like Solomon's, Top Boy, you know, like yeah, you could see someone on Top Boy wearing that when sure. They're like about to break into someone's house and like beat someone up. They got the Palace Salomon XT Wings 2 on.
Yeah, definitely, man. This shoe is definitely going to appear on Top Boy. But like living in Berlin has really exposed me to, you know, how popular Salomon XT6s are, because that's the shoe that I keep seeing everywhere. It's probably the one shoe I would associate with Berlin a lot. And a black pair like this, yeah, you already know I'm finally going to get into Berghain now. I'm going to rock these and hopefully they won't reject me like they have the first two times.
What would you say compared to the XT4 and the XT6? Because I think you have both of those pairs as well, right? Like the XT Wings 2, would you say what's the difference there?
Honestly, man, like I'm struggling to find differences really. In terms of how they fit, in terms of how they feel on feet, for me, they're like very interchangeable. There's of course like design differences, but I think like casual sneakerhead, it doesn't matter. Like for me, all three of them are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, I feel so like the XT Wings 2 is a little bit more accessible as well, right? Because a lot of XT4 and XT6 colorways sell out really quickly. But yeah, on the topic of Palace, because you said that it doesn't really feel like a Palace collab. Actually, just before recording, I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this like Chinese exclusive colorway of the XT6, I believe, or XT4. And it was like this like cotton candy rainbow tie-dye colorway. Like it looked really like it was hand-dyed.
I saw that, man. That was and fire.
It was super dope. And somebody commented underneath the post, I think it was on Hypebeast, somebody was like, yo, well, like why couldn't Palace do this? This is such a Palace colorway. And I was like, damn, yeah, like it is true. Like the colorful, like loud in your face is very Palace. Although I do really like the fact that they went with like an all black and an all white as well.
Pretty unusual for them though. Like they've done a lot of sneaker collabs in the past and they've never done this like monochrome type of look before. But still, you know, I don't think if I didn't live in Berlin, I would want this shoe. I just wanted this, you know, to, you know, got the winter time coming up and I'm probably going to be rocking a shoe like this quite a bit. The other sneaker picked up, the Jordan 4 Red Cement. I did a whole review on the sneaker talking about how I was kind of just not disappointed is the wrong word, but more like meh about it, because to me it's just another they pretty much took the white cements, replaced the white with the red. It kind of looks also like a flipped version of the Fire Red 4s, and I think both of those other sneakers are just way nicer looking. The cement print for me just doesn't work really well with the red color. And I just don't think it looks that good. I've seen a couple of people wear them on feet outside as well, and I'm just like, it's a bit of a pass for me. So that was my thoughts. I know you're a big fours guy. What was your thoughts on the red cements?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them. Honestly, there's other colorways that I would, or there's actually a lot of other colorways that I would prefer over the red cements. It's just not a combination that I really think goes well together. And yeah, like I said, Jordan Brand has had some really, really nice fours over the past few years. I mean, even if you extend it back to like 5-6 years ago with the metallic pack, there's so many fours that I would wear over these, and I think a lot of people agree with me. So I mean, you know, maybe there's people out there who say the red cement is their favorite, and more power to you. Anyway, that was it for your pickups, right?
That was it, yeah. What about yourself, man?
So I have 1.5 pickups, and then for myself, and then one for my wife. I'll go through mine first because it's obviously the most important one. I got the Union Nike Air Jordan 1s in the, you know, the obvious new colorway that dropped, the all white with the Footscape woven baseball glove-esque pattern that runs across the forefoot and the toe box. And I have to say that I'm a really big fan of these shoes. I love the fact that it was a collaboration between a married couple, between a husband and wife, you know, Beffy's Beauty Supply and Union, Chris Gibbs. They, as I said, they're married, and I really love just the story behind that they came together for Jordan Brand and created this cool shoe. I thought the imagery for the campaign was nice, but what really caught me was, A, it's super wearable. It's an all-white, like, vintage, nice leather-looking shoe. And, you know, you can combine that with a lot of things. But a lot of people were turned off by the woven pattern. A lot of people were expecting, you know, a UNC or a Bred or a Royal version of the first two pairs. And when that didn't materialize, a lot of people were like, oh, damn, these suck. Like, oh, these are bricks, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, you know me. Our listeners know me. I'm someone who, I enjoy things that are a little bit different and that people don't actually like or have. And I feel like that's one of these shoes. You know, it's not a super hype. Maybe it was a certain level of hype, but it's not like going for €1,000 on the resale market. And so I'm actually very, very happy with this pickup for sure. And then...
And you said you picked out something for Hannah as well?
Yeah, so I got her a pair of Gazelle platforms in that lovely pink colorway. And I have to be honest, if these were not platforms, I would probably wear them myself. Just because...
Now that colorway is fire.
Oof. I mean, it's the quintessential summer colorway. Just like a nice, really supple pink suede with these contrasting hits on the stripes. Just really, really, really good job there from Adidas. And so, I mean, yeah, I'm going to be very jealous of my wife when she's walking around wearing those. And then the half a pickup for myself is... You guys obviously can't see because you're only listening to us, but Josh can see. I got new glasses. I found out in August that I need glasses. I'm 30 now. My eyes are getting weaker, and I only need them to like read things and, you know, when I'm working on the computer or watching TV, etc. So it's not like I'm wearing them all the time, but I wanted something that was a little bit different as well. I didn't want your, you know, regular square, circle, whatever spectacles. So I went with a pair of, 80s aviators in this transparent acetate material, and I'm quite happy with them, and I'm actually really enjoying the vibe at the moment, and that's why I'm actually wearing them more often than I really need to be honest.
No, I think they look good. You definitely think you look good, but the important question is, does Hannah think they look good? She's got to be looking at you all the time.
She was a big part of the decision-making process, and we tried on at least like 25 pairs of glasses. So I did not get these without her approval, and she also said that they look pretty good on me. So I'm happy with that as well.
Nice man. And it is. We're definitely gonna have to change the logo. We gotta change the logo because
true. I didn't even think of that.
I'm wearing glasses in the logo and you're not. And now we've flipped.
We've literally flipped. I think that shows just how much time has gone by and how much has changed since we kicked off the Kickback Pod. But yeah, let's do that for the next episode for sure.
About your Union Jordan 1 pickup, I do have some strong opinions about that, but I'm going to leave that for another episode because I feel like it requires like another like deep dive. But
we need a full hour for you to just tear apart the Union Jordans.
Yeah, but I'm happy you got those, man. Those and I'm happy to hear that you actually like the shoe for the shoe and not for the story and the marketing and all that, because every single person I hear who talks about the shoe and says they like it, they just keep bringing up the story. You know, like I haven't heard anyone talk about the fact that they like the shoes themselves. So it's nice to hear that you actually like the shoes. Well,
thank you, bro.
So before we get into our main topic of the best sneakers from each brand this year, I wanted to quickly touch on Sneakers Day. It just passed on September the 9th. What was different this year is that they had one day for the entire world, and it was previously just done in Europe, and this time the whole world got to get involved. And there, I'm going to talk about what I liked, what we didn't like about it. So first of all, the format this year was very different. So all of the sneaker drop times were announced well in advance. You could have logged into the sneakers app several days before and know exactly what time of the day each sneaker was about to drop. I personally really enjoyed that. I enjoyed not having to stay by my phone all day and like wonder when something's going to drop or keep refreshing my phone for the latest drop, shock drops, whatever. I felt like an entire day of my life would be taken away by the sneakers app once a year before. Whereas this time, everything, I knew exactly when everything was going to drop. I was even able to go to the gym, got a workout in between drops, which was great. And crushed that workout, by the way. And then I came back. I managed to cop another sneaker. So as far as the format goes, I really like the format this year. What I didn't like, of course, is the drops themselves. The drops were kind of meh. They were basically sneakers that were going to drop the next week anyways. Nike just pretty much released them a week earlier. We didn't get any shock restocks of even the Union ones or the Travis, nothing really. Like, it was just basic general sneakers that were going to release the following week anyways. The drops themselves, as usual, were a bit disappointing. What was your thoughts?
I agree. I think that the biggest thing that Nike did was bring in that transparency so that people could manage their expectations and see what was dropping when, and also manage their schedule around Sneakers Day, because like you said, in the past it's been, you know, checking your phone every 2-3 minutes, or, you know, saying, you know what, I'm gonna stay home today because I don't want to risk being, I don't know, underground or in the subway or in an elevator when the off-white whatever restock happens. So I think that was really cool that they did that. Obviously the people want hype drops, but I can understand why Nike didn't bring those in, because it's a lot harder to manage expectations and there's probably a higher chance for blowback if not everyone gets the shoe that they want. So Nike's probably using this as more of a community building event with their live videos and to, you know, bring back models such as the Footscape or release models early such as the Jordan 4 Red Cement. So I think it was handled pretty well. I'd say the biggest losers of Nike Sneakers Day are all of those aggregators and leak accounts that were like, oh yeah, definitely we're gonna get the Nike Air Jordan 4 SB whatever dropping again, and we're gonna get this shoe, and there's gonna be definitely some restocks of the Union. Like, sorry, but fuck you guys, man. Like, you guys are passing off
so much false information
just for engagement, for retweets, for likes, for comments. And they know full and well that there's no evidence of these shoes coming back. But every single year, they're like, ooh, what shoes are coming back? It's been like 2 or 3 years since they've even had restocks, right? Or like brought hype releases in. So I don't know why people keep falling for it. Maybe fool me once, fool me twice, fool me thrice. Like, shame on you at this point. But still, man, those accounts really piss me off because they're just like making shit up. And it that also ruins expectations a little bit. That was like a little rant that I had to have.
I totally agree. That's actually a really great point, man, because I feel like every year the expectations do end up getting built up by these BS accounts just spreading hope and nonsense. You know, it's never Nike, you know, giving a little tease or anything that, hey, this might be dropping. There's always these accounts, news clickbait type of accounts, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, so basically to sum it all up, we like the format, we didn't like the drops.
Exactly.
So moving on to let's talk about some of the best of each brand this year, how each brand is doing. Let's call it like a brand heat check so far. So we're already moving into September, we're almost in the fourth quarter of the year now, so we do have a pretty good assessment of how each brand has been performing so far. So we will start off with Nike, and this is just Nike, so it's not including Jordan Brand or Nike SB.
It's Nike Sportswear, basically.
Nike Sportswear, yeah. So when it comes to sneaker this year, I feel like Nike kind of unexpectedly hit a home run by bringing back the Vomeros this year. And that's been, I think, the one shining light for them this year, because even I didn't expect this, okay? Like, I was talking about how I was the only member of the Vomero fan club at the start of the year.
The president. You were the president.
The president, yeah. Because I felt like I was the default president because I was the only guy in the club. You
True.
and now it's like, bro, every single colorway of the Vomero sells out. Every single one, you know? So it was kind of crazy to see that. Even I didn't expect that. So that's been cool to see. So I think as far as sneakers go, there's not a whole lot new coming from Nike Sportswear this year, except that the Vomeros have been putting in numbers. Nike doesn't seem to have slowed down or gotten the hint that people are absolutely tired of Dunks. It's crazy. Right now, you can go on the sneakers app right now. It doesn't matter what country you're in. You can go on the sneakers app right now and get whatever size you want of the Panda Dunks. They're fully sitting on the Nike app, which is crazy. Well, I mean, it's a good thing, right? Like, people are, you know, tired of sneakers, seeing the same sneaker all the time. But Nike seems to keep dropping Dunks every single week, even though they're not really selling out or anything. But I haven't seen anything else really from Nike Sportswear that suggests to me that they're having a good year. It's just been the Vomeros for me. And as far as the best sneaker that I've seen Nike Sportswear drop this year, it's been, and I have it in my hand, but you guys can't see it, of course. It is the Jacques Mousse J Force One, a sneaker that a lot of people didn't buy. In fact, you were able to even get them on sale. You can get them on sale right now at a lot of retailers. You can even use your Nike discount codes and get them. They're sitting in a full size run. I personally love this sneaker. I've never really been a huge Air Force One guy just because I've always thought those shoes are very bulky. But the J Force Ones took the Air Force Ones, slimmed them down, gave them kind of like a elevated aesthetic, like a old money type of vibe to it. Like
the boat shoe version of Air Force Ones.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Boat shoe version. Like, it's like, you know, when I'm wearing, if I'm wearing like a more like classy type of fit, I like to throw these on because I don't want to throw something too sporty on. You know, these I feel for me are just like that casual shoe that kind of, you know, makes me feel like a little swaggy, man. I don't know what it is, but I'm a big fan of the J Force Ones. It's a clean look. I can wear it with anything, and that's been my favorite Nike Sportswear release of the year.
You said it as well. Like, my take on Nike this year, at least if we're only focusing on Nike Sportswear, has been that it's been quite a slow year. Obviously, they've cranked out a lot of releases, right? A lot of Dunks, a lot of Vomeros. And I think the Vomero as like a model has been a bit of the saving grace for Nike. There's been, you know, there's been some good like Air Max Ones, and here and there have been nice colorways of certain iconic sneakers. But in general, Nike has lost ground on New Balance. Nike has lost ground on Asics, and they're still dominating Adidas. I think that's clear, but who isn't? Let's be honest. And so I think in this down year, it's been actually it was a little bit difficult for me to pick the best shoe so far, and it's technically a shoe that has only dropped as a limited release with a collaborator. The full Nike sneakers release is coming later this month, next week actually. My favorite shoe is the A Cold Wall Nike TN because I love the Nike TN. I've had a couple pairs in the past and I love what A Cold Wall has done with its aesthetic on pretty much all of its Nike collaborations. The Nike Air Force One Low, Air Force One High, then obviously the Zoom Vomero 5, where the, you know, multiple colorways and those hand-dyed colorways were just flying off the shelves. Just showed that A Cold Wall was basically... Actually, you know what? I would say that Samuel Ross is the president of the Vomero Club. You can be vice president because he's the one true. Who initially brought these back. But I really like the Nike TN because it's this high quality full grain leather all across the upper. It brings this like luxuriousness to a shoe that has a bit of a naughty reputation on the street. And I mean, we were talking about Top Boy before, like there's probably a bunch of scenes where you see Nike TNs on, and it's a shoe that's associated with street culture and also gang culture in a way in Europe. And so that juxtaposition between that and then the luxuriousness of A Cold Wall, a true luxury brand, bringing its touch and its vision to the shoe, is something that I find quite exciting. So in general, Nike, maybe not the best year if you compare it to years past, but there's been some bright spots, as you said, the J-Force 1 for you, Nike TN A Cold Wall for me, and then very, very obviously the Zoom Vomero. So... yeah, decent Nike. Let's stay with the swoosh, obviously, but move to Nike SB. What are your thoughts on Nike SB, JD?
So I think overall they've had a pretty strong year when it comes to releases because, I mean, I'm just going through their list of releases this year, and it's a good year. I mean, they've had the Uto, the Uto Dunks, which released recently, Uto Harugomi, which a lot of people have right up there for their sneaker of the year. Great, great pair. Man, I wish I was able to get those. Also recently, something I picked up was the SB Dunk Low from Supreme, both the lows and the highs. Another really great release. They've had some strong ones, man. They've had the Crenshaw Skate Shop Dunks drop. They've had the Haritos Dunks, Run the Jewels, and... personally, my favorite so far this year, so my favorite release from Nike SB this year was the Dunk Low Pro, the Dunk SB Low by Fly. Fly is a Chinese skate shop, and they released a sneaker which they call the Gardenia, which is based off of the Gardenia flowers that are quite common in Chinese marketplaces. And I just think the execution on that pair was so cool. Like when I was doing the research for that video, I had no idea what gardenias was. And then I read the whole story about how these old ladies in Chinese markets are selling these flowers in little baskets. And they took that whole inspiration from the basket down to the cloth used underneath the flowers, down to the thorns on the flowers. And they incorporated all of that into the shoe. And I thought it just looked great, like a really, really nice pair. And for me, that was my SB Dunk of the year. And I think it's been a pretty, pretty strong year for a Nike SB. It's sure the hype has been a little bit lower and the resale prices are not that high, but that doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't mean that the releases aren't great. There's been some pretty fire releases this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think SB Dunks are on the come up again, and I think that's also a lot to do with Nike SB limiting the qualities again. Whereas, you know, Nike Dunks are, how many restocks of the Panda Dunk have we had? Probably 25,000. So there's a very different strategy there. I think the Nike Dunk is all about bringing in that cash, going mainstream. You can buy it at JD Sports, at Foot Locker, etc., Snipes. And SB Dunks, they're bringing in the right type of partners again. They're bringing in limitation of stock. And so I think excitement is building around that a little bit. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if maybe in like 18 months, we had like another wave of SB Dunk hype. Maybe not as much as the original one in 2020, 2021, more like 2020, but pretty close because cycles are getting a lot shorter now when it comes to trends. And 2020 in 18 months is almost 5 years ago, right? Or 4.5 years ago. And I feel like that's enough time nowadays for a trend to come back if the brand manages it successfully. So, you know, mark my words, like SB Dunk's coming back. My favorite SB Dunk release was the Jarritos, just because it was similar to the Chunky Dunky, a food and beverage themed release. You had the scratch off top, which was, you know, which is always exciting and dope. And yeah, Jarritos, like the drink, I'm not a major fan, you know, and it's not something that I would like buy and drink. Like, I prefer the more mainstream sodas, but I know that they have a cult following, and so I think it was a very smart move from Nike to partner with Jarritos on that. So yeah, I think SB, I would say Nike SB is definitely doing better than Nike sportswear in my books.
Yeah, this year at least. All right, yeah. Let's move on to JB, Jordan Brand. As far as how Jordan Brand has been doing this year, I would say it's been a kind of a down year for them in terms of most of the retros they've released. Even though there have been some pretty nice pairs, like nice colorways, I would say. Like, for example, the UNC Toe is one that really sticks out to me. Also recently, the Palominos, I think, are a fantastic looking pair of sneakers that if you missed out on the Mochas a few years ago, you can pick these up and pull off pretty much 99% the same fits you would have pulled off anyways. And the good news about Jordan Brand right now being so underhyped is that it's really easy to get these releases. It's super easy to get all the ones you can possibly need. Same with fours. You know, fours don't have as much hype as they used to anymore. The resale prices are definitely down, but there's been some decent releases. However, I think maybe we're doing this segment a bit early in the year right now to judge Jordan Brand, because we know historically Jordan Brand puts out their biggest heat towards the end of the year. It's always around December, November, Black Friday time is when we see Jordan Brand really put out the heat. I just saw a preview of what they have coming up for the rest of the year, and definitely there's some fire on there. We got the 11s, we got the Jordan 5 Ama Maneers about to drop. Oof. So I think right now, as of September, I would say they're having a pretty meh year, like a pretty slow year. I would say, like, right now there's room to improve, and they will, because there's a lot of heat about to come. Those golf Jordan one low Travis Scott's who are pretty fire. But as far as my favorite Jordan Brand release of the year, I guess we could have put this under SB as well. That was the Jordan 4 SB. The Jordan 4 SB, I think, is the best Jordan 4 to release this year, not just for the colorway. I love that they decided to put an SB spin on the Jordan 4. If you watch my video, I went really into details about all the differences between the 4 SB and a regular Jordan 4. And I think it's cool. The attention to detail was great. I love the colorway for sure. It's like a colorway that was made for me. It's so nice. So that for me was easy selection for best Jordan release this year. What about yourself?
Honestly, I don't think there's much I can add. The SB Jordan 4 was magnificent. It was a work of art. I would say that, yeah, we could have put it in the SB bucket, but it is a Jordan 4 with an SB spin. So for me, it's more of a Jordan brand shoe, which is also why both of us picked it for this segment. I would also agree with you that it's more of a TBC for Jordan brand's performance. Q4 will be a strong one. It always is for the brand. But in the years past, they've also had relatively strong, or at least stronger than this year, Q1, Q2, and Q3s. So in general, I think across the board, Nike's having a bit of a down year. Like I said, SB is a bit on the come up. I would say that Jordan Brand has been a little bit disappointing. Their shoes or the colorways that they're bringing out are nice. And, you know, everyone is always looking forward to the spring and the fall previews, where they preview all the shoes that are coming out, but the hype just hasn't been there, the excitement around the shoes. So let's just see how it goes in the next 4 months. But for now, yeah, not the best from Jordan Brand.
All right, we've talked about pretty much everything to do with Nike and Jordan. Now let's move on to some other brands. Let's talk about perhaps the hottest brand in sneakers right now. Let's talk about ASICS. So ASICS, I think, have had perhaps the strongest year out of most of the sneaker brands in terms of where they were at the start of the year to where they are now. it's crazy to me. I can just assess things based on the tastes of my audiences, you know, who watch my videos. And it's crazy how many questions I get now about ASICs, about what size to wear, which sneaker is the best. I even dropped like an ASICs guide video recently, which was heavily requested. And it's crazy how much interest in the brand seems to be at the highest I have seen since I started following sneakers. And there's a lot of it has to do, of course, with, you know, the comeback of Y2K culture and Y2K fashion, and those sneakers fit in right perfectly into that. But I also think ASICS has another thing going for it, which is they've managed to develop some newer sneakers that are just appealing to everyone. And that would be my favorite ASICS release of the year so far, which has just been the ASICS Gel NYC. I think it is a spectacular sneaker. If you guys have had the chance to put those on your feet, you know what I'm talking about. It is ridiculously comfortable, like so comfortable, and they just look so good. They don't look too bulky. They have such a like visually appealing look to it, where if you see someone wearing it, your eyes are like automatically drawn to those shoes just because of the paneling. Doesn't matter the colorway, I feel like the panels are designed in a way to just make any colorway look good, because so far every single colorway I've seen drop of the Gel NYC, I haven't seen one and thought those are trash. They're all fire, you know. The NYC is to me one of the best sneakers we've seen ASICS drop in years, and it seems like the public thinks so themselves, because the Gel NYC is the one sneaker I see consistently selling out on the ASICS website. There's no big sizes left at all. People love the Gel NYC, and for good reason. I think it's one of the best newer models to release in the sneaker world this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. For me, it's also got to be the Gel NYC. Obviously, for me, the best colorway is the Awake colorway, the pink and blue one that came out early this year. I mean, it was top of my half-year review, and I said that I would be very surprised if it isn't top one or top two at my end of year rankings. Like, a lot of heat would have to drop in the next few months for it to be knocked off. I think ASICS, like you said, really benefits from the 2000s being in, the 2000s runners. They have a great catalog of those, and then they have those innovative new shoes as well, with Kiko Kostadinov leading their, you know, in-house general release design and really bringing innovation to the brand. He's taking retro models and giving them a new spin. He's combining different models to create a new one. That Gel NYC was, you know, a combination of two or three different models. I would say that, and we're going to talk about this brand next, but, you know, New Balance with Teddy Santis, like, Teddy Santis is doing great work, but what he's doing is a little bit different. He's, you know, really curating the colorways and what models are coming out from Made in USA, whilst Kiko Kostadinov and his team are actually really creating new shoes. And I think that's why ASICS for me is currently brand of the year, and for a lot of people it was brand of the year last year as well. Like, they're riding a real high, and love to see it. So looking forward to that. I teased it a little bit, so the next brand we're going to talk about is New Balance. And in my opinion, New Balance is obviously still on a high. They've got the momentum. They are probably one of the top two brands at the moment, depending on who you ask, right? Obviously, it's very, very based on opinions, but no one can really argue that New Balance has had a stunning, you know, last 2-3 years at this point. They've been consistently collaborating with the right partners. They've been bringing in, you know, people like Teddy Santis to just take them to the next level on the general release side. They have always had incredibly comfortable, high quality shoes. The price point is a bit of a pain, but it's always been that way. The materials on some of these 990s are next level. And then, you know, like you said about ASICS, they are bringing out maybe not new sneakers, but sneakers that, you know, have long been forgotten. The 550s, the 650s, the what else is there? The 2002 R's and the 1906s. All of those are shoes that are in the catalog. They're hidden somewhere, and people like Teddy Santis and their collaborators are picking them. And obviously, the very, very talented people working at New Balance are saying, you know, it's time for the shoe to come back. And then they've got that recipe for success to hype up a shoe. and then bringing it out at scale. So they're doing a really good job. My personal favorite is a shoe that I've already mentioned on this episode. It is the Stone Island New Balance Fuel Cell C1. And, you know, I told you guys how much I loved it at the beginning, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. But great, great shoe, and shows as well that New Balance is collaborating with the right people. I mean, Stone Island is an icon in itself. And so when these two titans meet, there's only going to be good that comes out of it, in my opinion. But what about you, man?
Wait. I see you wrote in our notes that you have a shout out to another New Balance sneaker here. And I just want to hear your reasoning here for why you're shouting out this shoe.
So I know that you don't like it, but it's the Double Taps 990 V6, which I thought the gray was just so nice. It was like a stealthy, like military-esque gray, super core to what Double Taps is. I love the big oversized branding. I mean, maybe I'm not a huge fan of having like USA plastered on my ankle, right? But I thought it was different and it caught my eye, and I immediately was drawn to it. And that's why I had to say shout out, because I think it's a little bit underrated, and you're probably now going to tell us why you don't like it.
No, I mean, I was mainly just interested to hear someone actually say something positive about the shoe, because I haven't seen one positive thing written about this shoe. So,
I mean, you know me, we talked about the Union. I like shoes that people don't like. And honestly, the only person whose opinion I had seen about the shoe prior to now is yours, because you had posted it in your story, and that's actually where I saw it. And then I was like, "Ooh, damn!" I think I messaged you about them. I was like, "Ooh, those are sleepers." And then you were like, "Yeah, man, they're putting me to sleep." So I mean, fair enough. Everyone has their own opinion, but I really like them.
Okay, man, but they were actually so hard to get, you know, like on the because my cook group has like back-end monitors for New Balance. Apparently New Balance Europe on the website only released 21 pairs total.
What?
For all of Europe.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah, it was like a ridiculously limited sneaker. So yeah, I do agree with a lot of the things you were saying about New Balance the brand. I think they've had a strong year. One thing is for certain, they're a lot more mainstream now. So it goes without saying that I'm seeing way more people wear New Balance this year compared to, like, let's say 3 years ago. The 2002 R, 1906 R in particular have been scooped up by everyone. Did you know that when the 2002 R first released in 2012, the retail price on that pair was $250?
Yeah, yeah.
This was back in 2012.
That was the whole point behind the shoe. They were supposed to be like the high-end, like CEO running shoe, basically.
Yeah, and the shoe flopped as a result. And then they brought it back a couple of years ago at a much lower price point of $130, and now they're a hit. And it just coincided with the comeback of Y2K fashion as well, which that sneaker really does pretty well. As far as the releases this year, one that really sticks out to me was the Gani 1906R, which kind of flew under the radar a little bit. I really like that shoe. Both of the colorways, super clean. Love the black outlines on there too. But if I had to pick, you know, my favorite New Balance sneaker this year, up until a couple of weeks ago, it was easily the Lapis Lazulis Action Bronson colorway. You know how much I love the V6s. But now I would have to say my favorite New Balance this year is the 990 V6 in the cream colorway. I think even though it's a general release, I think it's the best V6 we've seen so far. It's hard to see a better colorway coming out than these. They're just ridiculously clean. So that would be my favorite New Balance of the year. That would be like just simply in the top five favorite sneakers overall for me this year, the V6 Whoa. And the cream.
No spoilers, man. We need people to listen to our last episode.
Yeah, true. Let's see if our, you know, we always get a whole bunch of releases in the last 3 months of the year. So very likely what I just said would mean nothing in December anyways.
This is very true.
But yeah, that was my favorite New Balance. Let's move on to Adidas. So Adidas, no Yeezy. Yeezy is gone, except it kind of came back for the last 3 months. We've had like this last month was like the most intense Yeezy season ever, because we must have had like 20 Yeezys drop in 1 month, which was kind of crazy. But the other shoe that kind of, you know, tried to replace the Yeezy in terms of hype was the Adidas Samba, which this year has definitely increased exponentially in terms of hype, thanks to TikTok, thanks to Instagram, of course. And my favorite Adidas sneaker of the year for me has definitely been I just saw this post a couple of days ago. This is the Samba by a Chinese brand called No Title, a Shanghai-based creative agency. They did a collab with the Adidas Samba on four different colorways, and these are insane. Like, wow, by far the best Sambas I've seen drop this year. The Wales Bonner pairs were good as well, but these are unreal, especially this like giraffe print one with the giraffe print on the toe, the brown three stripes, different materials on there that I've never seen on a Samba before. Also, we got this pink colorway coming up. Wow, like these are, I really need these sneakers. I don't know if we're gonna see a release anywhere else. It seems like it's gonna be like Asia exclusive or China exclusive, I don't know, but if these do release anywhere else, oh my god, I need that giraffe print Samba. Those are hard as hell.
Yeah, Adidas is a bit of a weird one for me. It's got some great shoes. It's got a great back catalog. It's got great retro sneakers, and it's actually released a lot of really cool shoes. The CL Response, the Supernova 7, then obviously a lot of Samba colorways, and I think it really lucked into Sambas and that whole like basic shoe becoming a trend, because I don't think it was planned by Adidas. But to be fair to them, they jumped on it. They brought out some really cool collaborations with Sporting Rich, etc. Fucking awesome, stuff like that. So they've actually capitalized on that hype. And so Adidas is doing better than it has been in the past few years. But is that down to Adidas' strategy? Probably not. But I agree with everything you said about the brand, and a lot of these sneakers and these colorways for the, you know, I call them like court classics, are very exciting. I mean, we spoke about them in our pickups as well. What I thought was most interesting though was not one of those shoes, but the Adidas Basketball Crazy Infinity, because I thought, and for anyone who hasn't seen this shoe, this is the bring back of the Adidas Crazy line, which was actually Kobe's signature sneaker when he was back at Adidas. And the Crazy Infinity is a modern day version of those shoes. And it's almost, and those back then, those shoes bombed because they were like way too futuristic, way too, like they looked like blocks of cheese on Kobe's feet. But the way that they've done it now is almost like what they should have done back in the day. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of these shoes. I think that they look great. And if, you know, it almost looks like Jerry Lorenzo had a little bit of a hand in them, a little bit with the colorways and stuff, but a really, really nice shoe. And I would have to put that at the top of my Adidas ranking this year so far.
Definitely Jerry has something to do with it, because when I first saw that shoe, I actually thought it was the Fear of God Adidas. And yeah. I think I mistakenly even posted it on my Instagram. Like, guys, I can't believe we got the Fogs coming this year. But it turned out to just be the Crazy Infinity. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one. You're right. Like, that one definitely deserves a mention. Very, very dope pair of sneakers. And I also kind of agree with what you said about Adidas kind of lucking into the Samba thing. It wasn't really part of their strategy. So we'll see how long it lasts. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's kind of been a so-so year, I would say, for them. It's going to be really tough for them to replace the success they had with Yeezy. I don't see anything else replacing that anytime soon.
No, they lost a big chunk of their hype, but
yeah, for sure.
Let's see.
And the last topic to discuss is just the best sneaker from any other brand that dropped this year. And I'll go first. So definitely worth a mention, the Salomon XT6 Expanse collaboration with Sandy Liang. This is one of my favorite sneakers by far to drop this year. It was actually inspired by a Pokemon. It was inspired by Jigglypuff, the singing Pokemon. And that's where the shoe gets its pinkish, purplish color. I have never seen that color on a pair of Salomons before, and they looked pretty damn spectacular on the XT6, which is already a shoe that looks good in 99% of colorways, but this particular pink just looked awesome. And I think worthy of mentioning as my favorite sneaker from any other brand besides the big five or six.
I think what about yourself? That's such a solid pick, and I thought this was probably the hardest one for me to pick, because any other brand, that's so many different brands, right?
And that's true.
I wanted to, like, I was drawn towards Salomon, and I wanted to pick a Salomon shoe, but then I saw you had picked one, and I thought, okay, it might be a bit boring. So I tried to open it up, and I went in a direction, again, it's almost the theme of this episode, different to what other people are thinking of. And I went with mainline Stone Island, and I went with the Stone Island football. And obviously, I've talked a lot about football and casual culture this episode, but I think these shoes, like, it's a Stone Island take on pretty much the Samba, right? Or the Tiempo. It could be any classic football shoe. And I think this is such an amazing luxury take, or like luxury sportswear take on on this aesthetic, on this vibe. And I spoke a little bit with a guy who designed this on Instagram, and was just like giving him props for how cool this was. And he was like very appreciative. And honestly, it's probably a little bit more pricey, but like, if I wanted a Samba but didn't want a Samba because everyone has a Samba, I would probably get this shoe.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick as well. I mean, they kind of definitely give me some strong Samba vibes, that's for certain.
Yeah, definitely. There's some definite inspiration there. But yeah, I would say that wraps up our big topic of today. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and obviously let us know which shoes you would have picked for each of the brands and segments that we went through. We would love to hear on Instagram or wherever you guys are DMing us on JD Kicks OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding. on his TikTok. I don't TikTok. Know, man.
If we get a recession, I might have to, bro.
So it's literally like, you know how people like sell feet pics and make a bunch of money? Like, we're just selling like beat up sneaker picks or something like that, and people are paying like shit.
You never know, man. People might pay for that.
true. There's probably some people out there.
Like put up our used socks for sale.
Oh man. Okay, I think we're going in a different direction here. Let's bring it back to this episode. Upcoming drops, just gonna rattle through some of the best ones, and then we'll call it a day. So on September 19th, the Nike LeBron 4 Graffiti is dropping, which, you know, not really my jam, but people love retro LeBrons, and the Graffiti was quite a popular colorway. So that's dropping September 19th. On the 21st, we have the Cold Wall Nike Air Max Plus TN dropping in two colorways. The sexy blue colorway, I believe, is a Cold Wall exclusive.
What's your favorite out of the three?
The blue for sure, and then the white, and then the black.
By far, the hardest.
Yeah. Then on September 23rd, we're getting the Noah Puma Pro Star, which is, you know, a very classic shoe, and I quite actually like the apparel from the Noah Puma collab. Also on September 23rd is the ASICS Gel 1130 in a really nice green and white colorway, and actually I think the Gel NYC is dropping in that same colorway too, for anyone looking to pick those up. Again, on September 23rd, we have, and this is still rumored, the J Balvin Nike Air Jordan 3 Medellin, which I'm actually quite a big fan of, and I'm sure we'll talk about in our next episode. And then on September 29th, another ASICS Gel NYC, this time a collaboration with Bodega, and this shoe is called After Hours. So definitely keep an eye out for those releases in the next few weeks.
Fire, man. Looks like some heat. I'm looking forward to those Cold Wall pairs specifically, because you're right. It's definitely one of the best Nike releases this year.
For sure. And with that, thank you very much for listening. You know, listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave reviews where you can on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And of course, just hit us up if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. We love to chat with you. I know, you know, JD is always in his DMs on YouTube or on Instagram, and so am I. And we just love the conversations we have with you guys about sneakers. So we really appreciate you guys.
Peace, guys.